Now we continue with our studies in the book of Ruth. And this will be our final study. This will be taken from chapter 4. The book of Ruth, chapter 4, verse 1. Then went Boaz up to the gate and sat him down there. And behold, the kinsman of whom Boaz spake came by, unto whom he said, Ho, such a one, turn aside, sit down here. And he turned aside and sat down. And he took 10 men of the elders of the city and said, Sit ye down here. And they sat down. And he said unto the kinsman Naomi, that is come again out of the country of Moab, Sell us a parcel of land which was our brother Elimelech's. And I thought to advertise thee, saying, Buy it before the inhabitants and before the elders of my people. If thou wilt redeem it, redeem it. But if thou wilt not redeem it, then tell me, that I may know, for there is none to redeem it beside thee, and I am after thee. And he said, I will redeem it. Then said Boaz, What day thou buyest the field of the hand of Naomi, thou must buy it also of Ruth the Moabitess, the wife of the dead, to raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance. And the kinsman said, I cannot redeem it for myself, lest I mar mine own inheritance. Redeem thou my right to thyself, for I cannot redeem it. Now this was the manner in former time in Israel concerning redeeming and concerning changing. For to confirm all things, a man plucked off his shoe, gave it to his neighbor, and this was a testimony in Israel. Therefore the kinsman said unto Boaz, Buy it for thee. So he drew off his shoe. And Boaz said unto the elders and unto all the people, Ye are witnesses this day that I have bought all that was Elimelech's and all that was Chilion's and Mahlon's of the hand of Naomi. Moreover, Ruth the Moabitess, the wife of Mahlon, have I purchased to be my wife, to raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance, and that the name of the dead be not cut off from among the brethren and from the gate of his place. Ye are witnesses this day. Verse 14, And the woman said unto Naomi, Blessed be the Lord, which hath not left thee this day without a kinsman, that his name may be famous in Israel. Now, right at the end of the chapter, there's a wonderful little genealogy given, and here's what it says. And Salmon begat Boaz, and Boaz begat Obed, and Obed begat Jesse, and Jesse begat David. I'm sure the Lord will bless to us the reading of these verses. Let us bow for prayer. Our Father, we come to Thee again. We thank Thee that we're able to come and speak to Thee as members of a family speaking to a father. We think of the words of the Lord Jesus Christ Himself when he said, When you pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. So we come to thee as coming to a father. We ask thee now that as thou didst bless Ruth of old, and as thou didst bless Boaz, may thy blessing rest upon all of us at this time. We ask it now, giving thanks in the Saviour's name. Amen. Now, in this our final study from this little book of Ruth, I trust you have been helped as we have gone through chapter by chapter this week. Now then, it started off in chapter 1 with grace. We emphasized that. It was all of grace that Ruth, who was the Moabitess and who was a widow, she was penniless, helpless, and yet by faith she stepped out, setting her face towards the town of Bethlehem, coming with her widowed mother-in-law, and the two widows arrived back in Bethlehem at the time of barley harvest. Now, if it was grace in chapter 1, it was guidance in chapter 2 as to where she should glean. It was goodness in chapter 3, but thank God it's glory in chapter 4. Now, chapter 4 is really the chapter of the Redeemer. In verse 1 it says, "Behold the kinsman." Verse 6, "And the kinsman said." Verse 8, "Therefore the kinsman said." Again in verse 14 it says, "A kinsman." See, the whole chapter is dealing with a kinsman, and we have pointed out in previous studies that the thought of the kinsman carries the thought of a redeemer. So here was the kinsman who was the kinsman redeemer. And the whole story of the book of Ruth seems to sum up in chapter 4 how that Ruth is brought in by the redeemer. It's all of grace that she was brought in. Now then, might I suggest this, that as you look down through these chapters again, we notice that in chapter 1, it was Ruth the widow, and as the widow, she entered the Redeemer's fold. But in chapter 2, it was Ruth the woman, who was gleaning in the Redeemer's field. In chapter 3, it was Ruth the worshipper, lying at the Redeemer's feet. Here in chapter 4, it's Ruth, the wife, rejoicing in the Redeemer's family. You see what grace can do for us. It brings us on to the conclusion of the whole matter and brings us to the place of glory. However, as you go down through this chapter, we are reminded again of something else that we pointed out. If the whole book of Ruth is dealing with redemption, we should bear this in mind, that Ruth was an outsider, yet she was brought in at a time when there was failure in Israel. It was a time when the judges ruled, a time when the nation was characterized by one failure after another, and yet he was an outsider who is brought in and exercises her faith. Now, isn't it a strange thing that God in His grace has come out to those who were outside the confines of Israel, those of us who were strangers to the covenants that God had made with that nation, and yet the gospel of the grace of God has been spread abroad to the whole world, going into all the world and preach the gospel. So the gospel is spread around to Jew and Gentile alike. Paul tells us it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Gentile. Here was a Gentile, and a despised Gentile as that, the Moabitess woman, and the Moabitess was brought in. And so it is that grace brought her in, but then at the end, it's glory. And you and I have been brought by grace from the place of shame to the place of glory. But however, there's something else we must remember. That is, before a redeemer can redeem, he must have the right to redeem. He must be a kinsman. Now, we have proved in previous studies how that this man was a kinsman. And Naomi had the discernment to see this. And she said to her daughter-in-law, "Sit still, my daughter, until thou know how the matter will fall." And here is what she said about Boaz: "For the man will not be in rest until he have finished the thing this day." Naomi seemed to have the discernment to see in Boaz that he was a man not only with the right to redeem, but she realized he was one who had determined to redeem. But first of all, I pointed out that having the right to redeem was not everything. One must have the resources to redeem. And he tells us here there was another one who was nearer than he, one who had the right to redeem before him, but when the proposition was made to this other person, he refused to redeem. He said, "I cannot, because I perhaps, if I did it, I would mar mine own inheritance, so therefore I can't do it." He said, "But you redeem it. You have the right now. It's your place to redeem." So therefore, before one can redeem, he must have the right to redeem, and he must have the resources to redeem, and he must have the resolve to redeem. Now, when we bring these thoughts over to the New Testament, and we think of our redemption, we are reminded again, speaking concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Now, if the Lord Jesus Christ was our Redeemer, what gave him the right to redeem? There's a verse of a hymn that used to be sung quite a lot, and it expresses something relative to this. It said, "No angel could our place have taken, highest of the high though he, there on the cross despised, forsaken, was one of the Godhead three." See, the Lord Jesus Christ had to become a man. He was the eternal Son of the eternal God. But there was a time when he left the splendors of the glory and came down to this earth not to be an angel. He did not take upon him the nature of angels. He laid hold, says the Bible, on the seed of Abraham. He became a man. Now, isn't it strange and yet not strange that it was Bethlehem that he came to? Now, this Redeemer that we're speaking about back in the book of Ruth, Boaz, was a man who lived in Bethlehem. Now, Bethlehem is a rather interesting little town. It's associated with births and with deaths and with marriages. Now, it was to Bethlehem that the Lord Jesus Christ came. It was there he was born, in Bethlehem, the very place where Boaz had lived, the place where Boaz had his possessions, the place at the gate of the city of Bethlehem. It was there that Boaz put through the transaction whereby he was given the right to redeem. Now, not only so, but if Boaz had the right to redeem, he had to have the resources to redeem. And he had that because he was a man of great wealth. He was a wealthy kinsman. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ, if to be our Redeemer, he must not only have the right to redeem, be one of our kinsmen, he had to have the resources. Now, we think of the price that Boaz had to pay as he redeemed what belonged to Ruth's husband, her first husband. He died, now the property had to be redeemed, and before Boaz could redeem it, he had to have resources to buy it back. My friend, what was it the Lord Jesus Christ had to give in order to accomplish our redemption? Remember, the New Testament tells us we have been redeemed, not with such corruptible things as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Again, to quote the verse from Ephesians, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of our sins. So wherever you go in the New Testament and you deal with this great subject, you'll discover this. It is associated with the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul, when he has given us his great treatise on salvation, as set forth in the epistle to the Romans, he says, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. And so redemption in the New Testament is associated with the shedding of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was our Redeemer. He came to this earth and took upon him the nature of a man. He was born as a child at Bethlehem. He grew up as a young lad in the town of Nazareth. As a man, he went to the cross, a real man, and there he shed his precious blood. Now remember again, Naomi said, the man will not be in rest until he have finished the thing this day. Do you realize that the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross, the last thing he said was this, it is finished. It is finished. Yes, indeed. Finished every jot. Sinner, this is all you need. Tell me, is it not? Those who know the Lord Jesus Christ as a Savior can rest on the solid ground of the finished work of Christ. But then again, I remind you that right here, before that Ruth could be brought in and married to Boaz, something had to be transacted. This thing had to be done righteously. It had to be done on an honest, upright, legal transaction. And so therefore the other kinsman was drawn in first, and the witnesses were brought to the gate, and the whole thing was put through on a righteous basis. And then Boaz had the right, having the resources, and he has the resolve, and he goes right through the transaction, and then he takes Ruth to be his wife. And then he makes the public declaration saying, Ruth, have I purchased to be my wife, to raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance, that the name of the dead be not cut off from among his brethren, and from the gate of his place. Ye are witnesses this day. Then note now what the people say at that time, as they gave their answer to what Boaz had said. Standing at the gate listening, they said, we are witnesses. They pronounced a blessing. They said, the Lord make the woman that is come into thine house like Rachel and like Leah, which too did build the house of Israel, and do thou worthily in Ephratah, and be famous in Bethlehem. And you know, that's a wonderful thing, because she married Boaz, the kinsman redeemer. She became his wife, and of course, from them, they have developed a whole line of people, and she had a son, and you take that little genealogy at the end, and how interesting to notice this, that if you follow through, she was one of the ancestors of David, David the king. So you follow the line down through here, right from Ruth, and you come to David. Now, if you take this little genealogy from the end of Ruth, and you take it over into the New Testament, you'll discover it fits right in to the great genealogy that is given in Matthew chapter 1. And when you follow down through that genealogy, you'll discover this, that you come down from David, and it leads you right out to a man who was called Joseph, who became the husband of Mary, of whom was born the Christ. So don't you see that Ruth was brought in to a direct line of relationship with the Savior himself? So therefore, here in chapter 4, it's the great thought of redemption. And Ruth is brought in and joined together in a relationship with Boaz, a relationship that only death could sever. And then we've got to bring this over to the New Testament, and we remember that our Boaz, our Redeemer, our kinsman, lives in the power of an indissoluble life. And if we have been brought into relationship with the Redeemer who lives in the power of an endless life, and through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ we have been the recipients of this eternal life, then don't you see, my friend, there's nothing can sever us from the relationship that has been established between the redeemed and the Redeemer. We become one. And this is the life that he has given us, because it is eternal life. You know, I've often thought What a wonderful day it will be when we see him. At the present time, we're in the state whereby we have been betrothed to him. The transaction has been carried out. Not only did he have the right to redeem, not only did he have the resources to redeem, but he had the resolve, and having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them to the uttermost. He went right on to the end and said, "It's finished." Then, when he went back to the glory, he sat down. She said, "The man will not be in rest until he have finished the thing this day." The Lord Jesus Christ finished the work, paid the price of our redemption, and took his seat at the right hand of the throne of the Majesty in heaven. It's a finished work. You know, when we get home to the glory, there's going to be a great wedding. At the present time we're betrothed, but we're looking forward to the day when the marriage supper of the Lamb will take place. And having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them to the uttermost. Ah, but add to that this. He loved the church, and he gave himself for it. And here is the great romance of redemption. There were witnesses to the great transaction, those that witnessed the scene at the gate. There were also those who witnessed the scene outside the city walls of Jerusalem when the Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross. But now, here, we're waiting for the day when the marriage will take place. And when Ruth was married to Boaz, she became his wife. Not only a wife, but she became a mother. That is, she produced something for God. And may I remind you of this, that someday we're going home to the glory. And I think of the words of the old hymn writer, who said, "The bride eyes not her garment, but her dear bridegroom's face. I will not gaze at glory, but on the King of grace. Not at the crown he giveth, but on his pierced hand. The Lamb is all the glory in Emmanuel's land." I'm sure that day that Ruth was married to Boaz, she wasn't so much interested in his possessions, she was interested in him. She wasn't so much interested in what she would have, she was interested in who she would have. And her whole life then would be geared to living it for his pleasure. Oh, my friend, let me ask you this. Do you know anything at all about the friendship of the kinsman redeemer? Do you know anything about the Lord Jesus Christ, the great kinsman? Just as Ruth was brought from the distant place, brought into a relationship with the kinsman, with this man called Boaz, the mighty man of wealth, the strong man, so you, my friend, can be brought into a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ and know him as your Redeemer, to know you've been set free, to know that you've been brought into a relationship with him, Jesus Christ, the Redeemer. And you'll be able to say, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. What a wonderful thing that Ruth, the Moabitess, who according to the law could not be brought in to the congregation of Israel until the 10th generation, she was brought in on the basis of redemption, and that redemption was righteously carried out, all because of the grace of God. If you and I had got what the law had for us, we would have been banished from God's presence for all eternity as sinners, unworthy to be brought into his presence. Ah, but my friend, grace has bridged the gulf. Grace has brought salvation right to us. Now we're brought into that perfect union with the Lord Jesus Christ. I trust that all who are listening to me now know something about the relationship to the kinsman redeemer.